Daniel Browning with you. This is Away, Indigenous Culture on RN. A couple of years ago, educator Dave Hartley had the idea of encouraging literacy by creating a fictitious 11-year-old boy who's crazy about rugby league. Well, Dylan Conlon has a secret. He has the ability to transform into Deadly D, a muscle-bound, full-grown sporting superstar. The character is loosely based on former Australian international Scott Prince, whose NRL career included a premiership with the Broncos, a run with West's Tigers, and a few club captaincies. Not to mention a few Dally M's and a Clive Churchill medal. He retired in 2013 after 300 professional games. Coincidentally, Scott's daughter was a student at the Gold Coast School where Dave Hartley was deputy principal. Book one in the series, Deadly D and Justice Jones Making the Team, was winner of the Black and Right Kooraldagan Indigenous Writing Fellowship. In 2014, it won the Speech Pathology Book of the Year in the Indigenous Children's category. Deadly D and Justice Jones Rising Star followed. This year, the character Dylan Conlon is back in the third of the series, Deadly D and Justice Jones The Search.
Hi, my name's Dave Hartley. I'm a Burunga man. I live on the Gold Coast, but my people are from Chinchilla in southwestern Queensland.
Yeah, and I'm Scott Prince. I'm a proud Kalkadoon man up in the Mount Isa region, and I'm co-author of Deadly D and Justice Jones.
Scott Prince needs no introduction, so Dave, could you tell us about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm a deputy principal. I'm deputy principal at Coomera Springs State School on the Gold Coast. I've been in education for close to 15 years now. I have a real passion for working with kids, especially primary age kids, and making sure they get the best education that we can possibly offer. Also, I'm married, got two girls, 15 and 10 years old, and I'm very passionate about improving literacy as well, literacy levels in kids.
Perfect.
That's a very good answer. Yeah, you've done this before.
I have.
Scott, we know and love you from your rugby career. How's life after rugby?
It's been good. I guess I'm in my second year of retirement. Last year was pretty full on. I tried my hand at some commentary through Fox Sports. Very busy last year, but now I've got a really good balance. You know, outside, you know, co-authoring the books with Dave. Also do a little leagues program alongside two former NRL players, and that's Luke O'Dwyer and Ashley Harrison. So we've got that currently running on the Gold Coast and up in Logan at the Logan Community Hub. Also doing some stuff with Queensland Touch Football, so an ambassador for those guys, and also the Brisbane Broncos as well. So, trying my hand at a number of things, but, yeah, thoroughly enjoying those sort of responsibilities. And also being a father as well to two lovely girls, Talia and Kaylin.
We're here to talk about books, but were you both prolific readers in school?
Yeah, I wasn't, Rico. I enjoyed reading about sports. I liked non-fiction. I read every book there was about Wally Lewis or the Maroons, but I didn't read a lot of fiction, and I guess that's because I didn't really connect with anything that was out there. So that was part of the driving force behind the Deadly D and Justice Jones series, to really bring those kids in, hook those reluctant readers through using rugby league.
And myself, yeah, I was the same with Dave, a very reluctant reader, but anything that involved sort of basketball growing up for me as a kid in Mount Isa, in particular Michael Jordan, through those basketball magazines, I couldn't put them down. So, and as Dave said, you know, with the Deadly D and Justice Jones series, that was certainly an area and a passion for that we both really shared in regards to writing the book, to get reluctant readers to pick up a book, in particular boys, but boys and girls do love our series.
The Deadly D and Justice Jones saga rolls on with the third instalment. Was there always going to be three parts to this story, or has the development of the character been organic?
I think it's been really organic, hey? We've enjoyed bringing new characters in as the stories have moved along, and I guess we always have a bit of a an end point in sight, you know, and that could be representative football for Deadly D or the grand final. But it is organic, and we listen to our readership and the feedback we get from them, and we get a better feeling at every book for what the kids connect with most. So we always try to include those elements that they enjoy in the next book that's coming. So, for example, we thought it would be important in this book to include a young Papua New Guinean fella called Menzi Ten, and that's because some of the feedback that Scotty got from doing some work up in PNG, that provided the inspiration for that character. So, yeah, it grows as we write.
Could each of you tell us the thrill of being authors as you're back again with Deadly D and Justice Jones, The Search?
Oh, it's always fun, you know, when we're producing the books, in particular when we're, you know, I guess, jotting down ideas. I think in book number two, we come up with that book on our way back from a signing session out at Lismore. So,
That was the worst signing session ever.
Unbelievable. We thought we were going to have 1,000 people turn up, and I think we got one.
No, yeah, and that was some fella that pinched our bottle of water.
Yeah.
And we had our deadly yellow shirts on. They thought you were a cricket player.
Yeah, he thought I was Andrew Symons.
Yeah.
So, they love their Deadly D series out at Lismore. We love you. We can't wait to be back next year.
Not.
But, yeah, the thrill of being an author, you've got to be enjoying it.
Oh, we're certainly loving it. And, you know, obviously, you know, we're through the editing process, writing the book. We have fun. We keep a lot of cafes and restaurants in business on the Gold Coast. So we stay up to about, you know, 10, 11 o'clock, writing sessions of a night time and coming up with ideas. And there's a lot of stuff that we have to leave out because we've got to, in searching our 11-year-old sort of boy inside of us to try to find that inspiration. But yeah, we certainly have a fantastic time, but even for us, or even for me in particular, I'm still, I guess, it feels surreal that we find our books on shelves and that available, you know, to the general public, and just to hold, you know, each book that I guess that we get published is a thrill in itself.
Yeah, and you know, you go to the library with your kids on the Saturday, and my youngest girl Jaya, she knows now. She runs down to the kids section and she looks to see if the book's on the shelf or if it's been borrowed, and it's so embarrassing, because she'll yell out from down the end of the library, "Hey, Dad, your book's gone!" And so everyone looks around. That's a bit shame. That's good fun.
She proud look.
Yeah. And that's the thing that I find exciting about being an author is that kids are actually picking your book up and wanting to read it before they want to read Harry Potter.
Yeah, and also to add to that is the reviews that we are getting, you know, like from parents and teachers alike. You know, they sort of comment, I guess, on our Facebook page, you know, make positive comments about, you know, reluctant readers that are reading the book from front to back and 10 times, and they can't wait for the next instalment.
Yeah.
Are there designated times or dates and times where you two meet up or like for the writing process, or are you calling each other at any time of the day with ideas? How does it work?
Well, basically Dave's full time as a deputy principal, so he's pretty committed and full time with his job, and I guess at the time of book one, you know, I was into my footy career in the back end anyway, but I was sort of caught up in between trainings, and most of the time would sort of tee up a time and try to work out a day that suits both, and that would be sort of generally during the week and after, say, 7, 8 o'clock of a night time. And
oh, true.
It sort of got to the stage where our wives were starting to wonder whether or not we were becoming an item, and it was quite scary.
Yeah. And we were doing a thing out in my man shed the other night, and Scotty was curled up on the couch next to me, and my wife gave me a funny look, but he was just getting comfy, eh?
Yeah, mate. We're mates.
Yeah.
Sort of.
I love, with the books, I love that there are subtle notes to a healthy lifestyle, you know, be it the characters engaging in physical activity or even down to a healthy lunch of tuna sandwiches and bananas. Is that a conscious decision to inform kids in that way?
Yeah, it is definitely. I think it's important, any chance you get to promote, you know, deadly choices, healthy living, or even doing well at school, you put it in as just something that's normal, not something that is different. So, you know, whilst we don't try and ram those messages down the kids' throats, we just try and look for those opportunities when they arise and put them in and just treat them as something normal rather than something that's out of the ordinary.
Let's get down to business. Could you set the scene for readers? Where is our beloved Dylan in life as we dive into Deadly D and Justice Jones, The Search?
Okay, so Dylan's still living a double life. You know, during the day he's at Flatwater State School as an 11-year-old kid, but on the weekend he's still he's turning into that man and the big muscle man, the NRL superstar playing for the Broncos, but he's still keeping it a secret from Mum. So at the moment, Mum's still unaware, but he's starting to struggle with coming clean. So he dawns on him that he needs to come clean with Mum, and once he does, she goes off, she goes wild, and he gets sent up to Mount Isa to live with Nan for a little while because he's lost Mum's trust. So, and that's where the real excitement starts, because the Broncos have lost their star player, Deadly D,
yep.
And it's up to the coach, Wayne Bennett, and Justice Jones to go up to Mount Isa and search for their missing player.
It's fast pace from go to woe for the readers.
Yeah, I think it has to be. Hey, that's what keeps their interest. Mm. And when Scotty and I write, we think of it as we'd say, what would the Deadly D movie look like? You know, would it be action-packed, sort of car chases or BMX chases, explosions? So we love to keep the kids turning the pages, and that's probably one of the best ways to do it. And rugby league being action-packed just makes sense to keep as much action and excitement in it as possible.
Those immersed in NRL, from Ray Warren to Fatty Vaughton, they don't mind being name-dropped?
No, not at all. I think it's also, while we're writing these books, to include real people. And in that way, the children and parents that are reading them can relate, I guess, and go, put a name to a face to a name. And they'll be sort of thinking all along when they do see these people on TV, thinking, oh, they're in my book. So... we have fun. We don't sort of talk them down throughout our book. We have fun with them, and we'll certainly have their full support in getting children reading.
And that was one of the biggest things we wanted to, make clear with our publisher and our readership, that by including real people in it, you're instantly making the kids and the readers are making that connection to real life. So it comes to life off the pages. They can actually imagine Ray Warren commentating or Fatty Vaughton throwing to Aaron Mole and doing the news report from Mount Isa. That's what makes it real for the kids.
Yo. How far-reaching has Deadly D's adventure taken him and you two so far? Have you been getting some great feedback since the first book?
Yeah. One of the best pieces of feedback, I guess, we got nearly brought tears to my eyes. We had a teacher contact us on our Facebook page. And she had a young fella who'd he'd been in and out of care for a number of years, and again, very reluctant reader, never had a book in his hands. And one particular day, he was a high school student. He had a bit of a meltdown, and he went up to the guidance officer's office and was able to chill out there. And they left him alone. They let him cool down for 10, 15 minutes. And when they came back, here was this kid lying down on the floor with a copy of our second book, Deadly D and Justice Jones, Rising Star. And he didn't leave that office until he read the whole book. So when we got that feedback, we knew that we were really making a difference. And the best part about that was it took it out of our target audience, which is, we sort of write for 9 to 12-year-old boys, and this kid's in high school. So that was a great example of the connection that we're making with kids.
When you went in to write the first Deadly D adventure, could you touch on the decision to have Dylan's character be Indigenous?
Yeah, I think that was the plan all along. Certainly was the plan in regards to Dave, getting my attention anyway, because it started about 5 years ago when Dave was teaching my eldest daughter at one of the schools on the Gold Coast, and she used to come home and say that, there's Mr. Hartley at school, there's a teacher that really wants to talk to you and team up to write a book. And, this took, I'm guessing, say, close to a month. Each day, each week, it would go by. And one day she come home and she was like, oh, Dave, Mr. Hartley put some notes in my bag. Do you mind just reading those? And he'd really want you to call him. So I went through and, shifted some, old bananas and Vegemite, just smeared all across the pages. But I sat down and had a cup of coffee and read it. And right from the start, he certainly got my attention, having an Indigenous boy, as we mentioned, by the name of Dylan Conlon. And, and using, you know, rugby league as a tool, the vehicle to engage children, in particular. He certainly grabbed my attention, and hence the reason why I gave him a call, and yeah, the rest is history. But yeah, so Dylan having a strong presence as far as an indigenous boy, and also his little sidekick in Justice Jones being a little Maori boy as well. So, you know, we certainly like to include, you know, the slang, the in terms of saying gammon and shame job and choice brew. Like, yeah, I think that's what we like to keep it real. And I know for certain that when we do, you know, our literacy festivals, you know, we certainly get into character, and the kids love it. They love hearing those little slang words, and they come up and say, "What's that mean?" You go, "Well, you can all read that in the glossary at the back."
And you know, we had a teacher aide come up to us about a year ago, and she was reading the story with a group of kids, and a couple of girls were Aboriginal, and in the book, as Scotty said, you know, we say gammon, and and the girls instantly connected. They said, that's what we say at home. Yeah. And then the non-Indigenous kids were saying, well, what does it mean? So it gave them a really nice opportunity to explain part of their culture and their slang as well. So it's nice to include those perspectives, but just don't make them a token thing. It's the main part of the book.
Dave Hartley and Scott Prince, the co-authors of the Three Deadly D books published by Magabala. They were speaking with Rika Udren. For now, that's our program. Away is back next Saturday at 6 p.m. and on Monday night at 9. You can also hear us across the Pacific region on Radio Australia. And don't forget, if you miss the show live on air, you can download our stories and listen whenever and wherever you like. Just head to the RN website and find Away in the program menu on the front page at abc.net.au/RN.